Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, and my patron peeps, what's up, patrons? How are you there? Oh, how are you? Oh, thanks for asking. I'm fine. I'm just glad to be here to tell you this. You know, do the intro, and eventually talk to you about The Good Place. So yeah, thanks for supporting me. By the way, oh yeah, okay. Where should I put that? Okay. Do you need anything? You need any water or anything? Okay, great. All right, what do you say we get on with the show? Thanks. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, you know, things on your mind, feelings, like any emotions coming up for you, or just, you know, generalized or specific stuff. Physical sensations, changes, weather, you know, work schedules, other people's schedules, just, you know, mystery stuff. You know, those, there's like, I guess I'll talk about mystery stuff. I don't know, have we talked about mystery stuff on the podcast before? A lot of times I ask questions because I don't know the answers to them. That's why, mostly why I ask questions. Not the only reason why. Sometimes it's strategic, but most times it's just organic. You see, have I talked? Because there's those lollipops that have mysteries. Mysteries always, a lot of times, symbolized in food products and game shows. Those are where I encounter the most mystery, this kind of mystery, with a big question mark. But anyway, where mystery was, what was I supposed to be talking about? Well, like whatever's keeping awake, I'd like to take your mind off of that. And what I'm going to do is to have this safe place here. It's not a mystery. It's safe and you're invited. But it's also optional. You could check it out. You could come in. You could observe it from afar. I don't think we've bragged about this before, but we actually have a safe place. You could feel, you could be in the safe place by binocular. Oh, also just in by binocular or telescope too, or just general observation. So if you're a birder, this might work better for you. You say, well, I'm very relaxed when I'm looking at birds through my binocs. And I'd say, wow, you call them binocs too. I don't. Does anybody call them noculars or nocs, like with an N? Because, but yeah, this is a safe place you could look at through binoculars. And you say, huh, looks pretty safe over there. And, I mean, just like watching birds. I mean, this podcast is pretty similar. I mean, in some ways, not all the great ways of bird watching. Yeah, because I know for some people, bird watching is very stimulating. But so some people, it's like, huh, I like that bird. It's, I mean, this is how I watch birds. Huh? Like how you walk. Oh, look at that. Yeah. In the moment here, watching this bird walking around. Or bird baths. One of the most underrated things at Golden Gate Park's music concourse is watching birds take baths, in my opinion. Yeah, it's weird. It's like a social construct. It says watching birds takes, but birds are the only thing you can watch, but take a bath. Elephants, I guess, too. Probably other things, but you say, what do you, well, I like watching birds and elephants take baths. And they say, wow, that's totally normal. So, where was I? That went off on an interesting tangent. So, trying to create a safe place you could observe from far or near. And the way I'm going to do it is I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones. Those are tones that are creaky, yeah, but a little bit sweet. You'd say, yeah, like a bit like something that I can't quite put my finger on. The tone, they're not bad, those creaky, dulcet tones. That's what some people say. Creaky dulcet tones, pointless meanders, which you just caught a few, superfluous tangents, maybe one was in there. Filler words, pauses, pondering, holy cow. You know, mildly engaging imagery, you know, of a bird. I was picturing one of those little birds. I don't know if it's a finch or a sparrow or something else. I mean, here's a question. You know, there's so many lists on the internet. This is not a list I've ever seen. Birds that take the best bathed birds. Not only is that like a triple, is it alliteration if it's triple? I'm sure there's a list somewhere out there. Best bathed birds. It is hard to say. And is it bragging? Like you could say, Billy, the best bathed bird, bragged. Maybe eventually we could do an episode about that with Bernie. If I haven't made it, somebody remind me. Where was I? Because now I'm, okay, so send my voice. I go off topic. I think that's what I was explaining. So if you're new, surprise, I go off topic a lot and I don't make a lot of sense. But I'm here to help. So let me give you a couple things. Because, of course, if you're new, you're probably skeptical. You may be making a face like you've consumed citrus because you say, what is this thing? And that's perfectly natural. I'm totally on your side because I am a very skeptical person, too. So if you're new, let me tell you about the structure of the show. Show starts off with a few minutes of business. Now, some new listeners will object to that because it's not exactly convenient, but the show does take multiple full-time hours to put out every week. So that's how we keep it free for everybody. And that's my goal, not to have it behind the paywall of a service. And if you're new, you don't really have to pay attention. So it's just a minor inconvenience to keep it free for everybody. Pretty cool, but trade-off. Then there's an intro, which this also can throw new listeners off. So if it's throwing you off, perfectly normal, because it's like, whatever, 8 minutes into the podcast and I haven't got to really any points yet, which is, you know, not to put the beak before the cart, as has never been said before. What's a truism? What's it like if you attempt to make a truism that's false? I mean, think about that, because that's like a, I mean, I don't think you'd want to put the beak before the cart. You would want to probably put the beak before the horse, though, because, or maybe not. I guess it would depend on the horse's feelings about birds, because I think you wouldn't, if I was a horse, I wouldn't want to be thinking about a beak bumping into me. I guess if it was like one of those birds, I don't think there are birds. I think those are just another creature, birds that clean the other creature's teeth. Maybe that only happens in cartoons anyway. But how about this, birds? I don't know if there's any birds evolving, looking for a new stage in evolution. But what do you think about, doing it for a horse? Like, because they get to wag their tail, or cows. You know, keep the flies away. Any birds out there that eat flies? We just lost our entire contingent of fly listeners, but that's just a theory I'm putting out there. Just total thought experiment, not real. Why don't you ride on the back of a horse and, you know, take care of that for the horse, or help, maybe the breeze of the tail, you would like that. I don't know. Just a thought. Then you'd put the beak upon the horse. That could be a truism. I guess you wouldn't say don't put the beak upon the horse, but maybe this would just be an evolutionary confusion. People confused about evolutionary circles. So maybe like some obscure high school professor would write it on a paper. Don't put the beak upon the horse like Scooter did when he tried to, you know, help birds evolve. And you know how that ended. Took down the entire Audubon Society. It was terrible. Don't put the beak upon the horse, even though it sounds like a good idea. There's a reason the birds never evolved that way. It's just Scooter doesn't know what it is. So anyway, if you're new, the intro, that's what I was going to say, that can throw people off. How did I get talking about birds? have no idea. But so the intros, they tend to throw the new listener off because I never get, like, the whole idea of the intro is that I just keep talking to try to introduce you. I try to get to the point. I'm not kidding. I say, well, let me just try to whip up a smooth metaphor here. That'll explain, but I try to think about it from your perspective. Well, you're new. Maybe I could just give you an example of where, and then I find myself like lost in, so I guess this is another, this could be evolution. Maybe my brain has evolved to go off topic and keep you company as you drift off. But what I was trying to say is that the intros are about 12 to 18 minutes. It's not me, other than the beginning, it's not me like trying to get you to help the podcast or anything. It's just to help give you plenty of time to wind down and relax. And as you're getting ready for bed or as you're first in bed, because I just think it's part of that wind down routine, getting comfortable, easing into bedtime. You can skip it. I would say start skipping the intros if you've listened to two or three and you say, well, I like this podcast, but I don't like the intros, which is like about 2 or 3% of regular listeners and then some unspecified amount of patrons or all-night listeners. So give it a shot. Then I'll talk about The Good Place eventually, some people are saying. Yeah, and then that'll be like very unrelated to The Good Place. It'll be a recap, but most people say, which season are you talking about right now? Because I didn't know. And I say, oh, season 4. And I just had a convo with somebody and they said, oh, you didn't talk about season 2. And I said, yeah, I'll get there after season 4. We've done that in the past too, where we do seasons out of order. So that's something to look forward to, actually. So what else? What else did I forget to talk about? So that's the structure of the show. Business, intro 12 to 18 minutes, business, Good Place, thank you. So that's the structure of the show. This is a podcast you don't need to listen to, which you may have already come to that conclusion. Maybe you've already come to it in a stronger way. And if you have, just go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/no-thank-you. Then you can find something else to listen to maybe that'll help. You don't need to listen to me. There's no pressure to listen, but there's no pressure to fall asleep either. The reason the podcasts are about an hour is so you have plenty of time to drift off. I'm going to be here till the very end, keeping you company, whether you're awake or asleep. I'm here to be your boar bud, your boar friend, your boar bestie, your boar bae, your boar bra, if you're in San Diego or... some other regions where there's a lot of people that say that, Point Break, maybe you're a Point Break fan. I don't know. So trying to think what else I covered. No pressure to listen, no pressure to fall asleep. I make this show because I truly believe you deserve a good night's sleep. And if I can help, it would be my honor. And you might say, you don't know me. And I'd say, you're right. You're right. You might not say, you say, hey, well, we don't know. How do you know? And I say, well, I don't know, I truly believe that deep down, that you deserve a good night's sleep, that you deserve a place to rest, and that your life will be a little bit better if you get the rest you deserve and need, and that other people's lives will be a little bit better. So that's one reason. Another reason is because I've been there, so I know how it feels. I know the frustration. I know the loneliness. It's familiar to me. And that also makes it really important for me to help where I can. I really wish this podcast worked for everybody. That'd be cool. But the reason I made the show is because other stuff that works for other people doesn't necessarily work for me. And I said, well, maybe I could help some people with something similar. So that's why I make the show. And that's why it doesn't work for everybody. So give it a few tries if you're new. That's what almost every single listener said. I mean, some people lately have said, oh, I started listening, it worked right, helped me right away, or liked it right away, because that was more on the sensibility level. They say, oh, this is my sensibility or style. Goofball. So just see how it goes. That's all I ask. I just want to help. But it doesn't work for everybody. I wish it did. And I really appreciate you checking the show out. I'm glad you're here. I work very, very hard. I take this, I take goofing around very seriously because I want to help. And here's a couple of ways we're able to keep this podcast free for everybody. All right, everybody. So we're talking about two episodes in a row here, back to back. I just got to find my forking pages here. From season 4 of The Good Place, the final season. And actually, we're in the middle of the final countdown. The first episode is called Help Is Other People. And I haven't, I'm still downloading it, actually. So it'll be a few more seconds. But I know it opens with Eleanor talking to the camera. Then there's an ad. Is that right? Eleanor talking to the camera ad. First year of afterlife. What do you remember most? Chidi John. There's like this little montage. Oh, it feels like an ad. It's some sort of video presentation video. Oh, it's downloaded now. So, but yeah, I don't want to, I get a pause. Let's just go through this first opening sequence and see how close I get it. Chidi John, Simone, they do a cheers of wine. They have big smiles on their face. I happened to pause it when John had one of the biggest smiles I've ever seen in my life. But, you know, you can really, if you ever, if you want to, like you say, Scoots, you know, I'm looking to project onto more fictional figures, you know, really help me with my emotional resonance or something. I'd say randomly pause The Good Place and then see what the faces the characters are making. And there's probably a 50% chance it'll go well. Like when John was smiling, I don't know if it was just that, was that the most joyous moment in John's afterlife, or was it just because of where I paused it? Joy, John. Then it goes to where the screen's split into 4 quadrants, and Chidi John and Simone are in the upper left. In the upper right is Brent, and he's kind of he has a boot of beer. He's with 2 other people. One person has a smaller boot, and the other person, she has a mug of beer. And they're kind of cheersing. And the bottom left is Jianyu on a bike. Well, he wasn't smiling. He did look pretty happy. And on the bottom right is a couple at a flower market. Then we see Chidi and Brent in their painting or charcoal. I said, is it a charcoal class or a painting class? Well, you know, I just started playing it. All that happens in 23 seconds, and I'm not even to second 18 yet. Okay, so they're at a charcoal painting class. Chidi's kind of doing a still life of books and flowers. Brent is painting a red and black racing car with #1 on the side. His signature is BN Norwalk. I always thought it was at first, before they said his last name, I thought it was Norwalk, California. But so it's a B, but then an N with the right side of the N is an arrow pointing up. And I think Chidi's face, you can't tell if he's impressed or feeling neutral or oh dear, Brent's thing. Then there's a guy sniffing a soccer ball, but it's a chocolate soccer ball. Full size, believe it or not, because you might say, nice and full size soccer ball. I think it was white and a dark chocolate, or maybe just milk chocolate, I don't know. And they say, that was the day everything was chalk. Maybe you remember the day everything was chalk. Eleanor's doing the voiceover. Then we realize we're at Mindy's. Jason makes a really good joke. Mindy still has that jukebox or whatever it is. Michael, only a few hours left in the first year. Eleanor says, do as many good deeds as you can by midnight. Eleanor, it's everybody but Chidi from the Soul Squad. Eleanor says, geez, I know, played something, you're talking about, geez, maybe I overplayed it, trying to get everybody to do good by the end of the year. Then Tahani says, the theme of the party is 1 year down, infinity to go. London, there's a lot of good jokes about the black tie, London or Knightbridge, black tie jokes. It goes on. Jason's face is a double exclamation point. Janet also mentions she's going to, at midnight, she'll be rebooting the Janet babies in some way. And then they go, blah, 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 humanity saved, finish strong. Then Michael says, by the way, on that end, and he pulls a coin from Jason's ear, who Jason says, dough, but like a happy dough. And they say, the magnificent Dr. Presto, that's his performing name. And he says, that's what's cool about performance magic versus actual magic. He says, ta-da. Then Eleanor offers him some sarcasm, but Michael says, oh, boffo. Then the episode opens, chapter 46. Then we're at Chidi's place. Let's see. Chidi's, everybody's getting dressed in black tie. Tahani says, you could work, everyone looks so good, you could work the coat check at the Met Gala. Brent, what does this mean? Brent bragging on his golf or got, Brent brags on his golf. I was like, Brent brags, he goes, don't let me birdies in. Then he puts on a tux and a can, which is a good effect. And then Simone's like, we're not leaving yet. And it's, I got to pause it here. 3:11, I don't know. I don't think it's quite where I can, but John's face. So she brings in a board. She's been investigating. And it's really full. Right, according to my thing, it's like 3008, but it's not a focus shot. But there's a lot. There's everybody's pictures. She's mostly interested in Eleanor and Michael. There's actually a map of the good place, but it's really out of focus. Otherwise, it'd be like in the seventh heaven or whatever. Everything's color-coded. Let's see. Chidi's yellow. Brent is like a turquoise. Janu's like a neon yellow. Tahani's like an orange. John is neon green. Simone, it says bias results. I think underneath she has a nickname or maybe the something under her. Eleanor's a light red, and Michael's like a not lime green. I guess a pale green. Qualitative case study analysis, events, a lot there. She's been really working it to figure out what she, like she knows there's something wrong. Janet's on there too. Janet's like a lavender. Control group, what else? John's face, something wrong with the neighborhood. Oh, yeah, because he knows it involves people here. Then we're in the office. We see there's 5 hours, 32 minutes, 11 seconds left. Eleanor, Michael, and Janet are in there. Magic scoreboard. Oh, she says, can you go in there and just see inside the obelisk? And Janet says, there's a 1 in 970 trillion chance I could. She comes back. She's like, that did not work. And they said, we just wish we had one sign that Brent has improved. Who do I have to fork to say, get one, oops, my bad. One more day, stick to the plan. Michael says, well, we could do something magical. So let's pause it at 4:34. I'm not sure why. We're at 4:20 now, funnily enough. I'm not even kidding. He pulls a coin out of Eleanor's ear. 4:29, Janet reappears. Oh, that's why. So at 4:34, there is a close-up of the boar. Oh, so Simone says, bias results inconclusive. Eleanor and Michael's name and Janet's names are in quotes. Let's see. Can't read everything. Romantic, defective, godly, something, gesture. Oh, bombastic. That's very accurate. Not romantic, bombastic. John. Hopeful, vanity, and pleasantries, maybe? Michael, does it say height and gesture? Janet, it says... Janice was tough to read. I think it said asexual, but I'm not positive. I'll just rewind it again. I mean, we're here all night. Am I right or am I right? There's Janet. Okay, get ready to pause it, Scoots. Okay, here we go. something possible super entity, asexuality. Is that what it says? Parent? I don't know. There's something obscured by Michael. Oh, also in the one corner, it says, where's Linda? Double question mark. And it, for me, when I saw it up until this second, I thought they were talking about Dumb Shorts Kathy. Okay, so back to the show. Something's forked up. Muffin, that's what Chidi calls Simone. Eleanor and Michael are up to something. Then there's a Dumb Shorts Kathy joke. Then John says, I got a hot gas that about John here that just went to relevant AF. Then Jason comes clean, but he does it in this kind of funny, sedate way. He goes, hi, I'm Jason Mendoza from Jacksonville, Florida. Go Jags. I was born in a swimming pool. But then, Simone calls, Chidi Ducky, and that John blows John's mind so much he has to sit down. And they say, let's assume things are right. Is this a test or an experiment? Tahani goes, everything's perfect. And then she says, no, Jason's proof it is not. He's not the only thing. Then Brent goes, oh, yeah. Brent says that. He goes, there's also a best place. And they said, they told me that that's where you're headed, amigo. And she's like, amigo, did they really use that terminology? And they go, how would you get into the best place? And he goes, I mean, I don't know what to tell you, but if I go up there, or maybe he says that later. They said, keep your eyes open, Muffin and Ducky. I don't know if John said that or I said that. Muffin and Ducky are on the case. It probably sounds like John something. Then the party's at the town square. There's 5 hours, 32 minutes, and 5 seconds left. And Eleanor goes, how's it going? Jason does a double joke. And then basically they're like, Simone knows. And Michael shows up. He goes, pick a card. And he goes, it's not time for magic or something. And then there's an ad. Then Simone and Chidi are in the office going through the, everything. They find, Chidi finds this journal. He's reading from it. Here's a trippy little ditty about a train to Groovy City. Open your freaky crystal mind and we'll have a cosmic good time. He's like, I think this is song lyrics. There's like a violin on the cover of the journal. So Jesus, there's just no evidence here. What if it was like just honest mistakes? And then Chidi goes, well, she told me about some stuff that I really want to be true about us. Then we go to Mindy's. There's 3 hours, 35 minutes and 45 seconds left. So she's, why does everything fall apart at the end? And Michael says, she says, only halfway through writing the purple train to Groovy City, and I ran out of creative juice. New plan. We do nothing. She says, we have no way of knowing. And then Michael says, I have a plan. It's risky. Do you trust me? And everyone says, fork it. Yeah. And then he goes, then trust trust magic, the magnificent actor Presto. He pops open a magical top hat. He doesn't say magic. I just put magic top hat. Then we're in the office and Chidi tells Simone about soulmates. Pretty neat, huh? She goes, oh, I don't think soulmates exist. Then she finds the emoji pin board. And she goes, well, I guess the party hat guy is better than thermometer guy, angry cat, or smiling, squirming coil that got away. Then we're at the party. There's 58 minutes and 29 seconds left. There's lots of lights. There's spotlights. There's green cone lights that look like trees. Purple tube lights. One of them looks like a trophy. And they say, geez, a magnificent Dr. Presto. This is at 11:30. There's also like, so, also they have, Janet has like a sparkly outfit on, and so does Michael. Let me pause it. So Janet has a regular outfit on, but it's all sparkly. You just got to see it around 11 minutes into the show. Probably with that, it's like 15. Then Michael has like a cummerbund and tie that are shimmering, sparkly. That seemed to match Janet's bow and the arms of her dress. Earth's magic is harder. I'm here to change your mind. Yeah, but his magic tricks, like he makes these quarters appear. But no way, is that yet? There's a mild applause. Yeah, that's when it happens. And Simone talks to John and Brent. It's only the four of us. It's only the four of us being forked with Chidi. But Chidi's like, well, there's no proof. There's because, oh, the board showed them that Jason and Tahani were not with them. But she says, well, we don't know this place isn't necessarily bad. And Brent goes, this place is fine. And if you don't make it the cut to the better, the best place, I'll put in a good word for you guys. This, for some reason, this joke crushed me. As like, he goes, you guys got any business cards? Just because Brent's so then tone deaf. And then Michael asks for, says, Brent, do you volunteer? He takes off his watch, which is the same Rolex Richie Sambora wears. Then this magical hole appears, which Brent goes into to hold on for a while. And Michael says, there's a small dove in your pocket that might help. Then there's an ad. And then there's like Brent's tone deafness. Goes, you guys are going to, I'm going to own this place. Eleanor says, you guys, everybody disperse. You three keep an eye on the situation. John, Simone. And Chidi, we're going to go, work with some eternal being technology to figure this out. And I think John says, let's get the fork out of here. Giant holes are bad. She's like, you're trying to help. Then Brent says, I'm very brave, by the way. Then they say, they go back to the office, they're back at the office, Soul Squad minus Chidi, and they just said, geez, I don't know if this is a bad idea, and Jason goes, no, it's good. He makes a prevent-defense metaphor. It's better to try. Tahani goes, that was coherent. Then Brent, Chidi, Baby Panda Donuts, Chidi's Caboose. And then someone says, Brent's the opposite of donuts. And then Jason makes a Hail Mary metaphor. And they say, two good analogies in a row. Then we're back at the magical Brent. John, Chidi, and Simone are working. And then John and Simone argue with Chidi. Chidi talks about his mistakes with almond milk. So just let's escape out of here, not without Brent. Brent wouldn't help you. There's a lot of jokes in there. And I said, why would you help him? And Chidi says, he's a person in the hole. I can't leave him. Simone says, I respect your position. Chidi says, I respect yours. Then she leaves, and John goes to leave with her. He goes, by the way, that was the most boring breakup I've ever seen. John tells Chidi to shake it off. 25:04. Oh, then the clock, there's like a quick sequence where the clock was at 25:14. It goes down to 10:01. And the Soul Squad's walking, minus Chidi. They're looking around. They're like, where are they? And then from the magic hole, they say, hello, help us, please. We're in the magic hole. And then Brent goes, I thought you were smart. And then they see them down there, and then they're like, it's over, Eleanor. And she goes, no way I'm giving up. We got to keep trying. And then Jason goes, yeah, you could always, like, when you, you know, get rid of a motorcycle in Tallahassee or whatever, you could do it twice. And then they go back to the office. It's just Eleanor and Michael and Chidi and Brent. They go, geez, where's John and Simone? Oh, they left. You think Brent calls them jerks. Chidi says, geez, they tried really hard with you. Brent says they were jealous. And Chidi goes, don't you get it, man? This is the bad place. Then there's a zoom on Michael and Eleanor, and they do this, like, act, hamming it up. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, man, you got us. We had a good run. And Brent goes, wait, so there's no best place? And Eleanor does this, goes, so there's no best place voice? Yeah, kind of goofy. Michael goes, Brent, you big white oaf, never change, bud. And he goes, I'll let them know you're on the way to the actual bad place. And Brent makes a lot of good faces in this one as he has different levels of denial and realization. Chidi leans his head back and kind of like, you know, just I guess belief and disbelief at the same time. Eleanor and Michael go out into the outer office in front of the welcome to the good place. Everything is fine sign. They're watching like via hidden camera. Well done. Frank goes, crazy twist, huh? This one killed me again, too. He goes, like something out of a Chip Driver novel. Then Gigi says, just leave me alone. And Brent says, you're my only friend. And then Gigi goes, I'm not your friend. And he goes, will you help me? Gigi says, I helped you because there's a moral code. You don't even care about other people. And Brent's stunned. He says, what are you trying to say here? And Chidi goes, you're a bad person, man. And Brent has this face. Then we cut back to the outer office. Like, you can do this, man. And Michael says, come on, dum-dum, faster. Maybe Eleanor says that. And Brent says, what do you mean? And he stands up. And he almost, so it just happens to fall on the other side, even at this one. Like, because you remember the last time he was confronted with this, he like, acted out when Simone tried to talk to him about this in front of everybody else. He couldn't handle it. And he stands, he goes, I'm not a bad person. I'm a good person. Something afraid, regret, I don't know. And then he goes, he touches his face and he goes, look, Chidi, whatever happens next, I need to say this to you. And he goes, I'm so, so sorry. And then they phase out and then kind of freeze. And then we're in the outer office. Janet appears with a pitcher of margaritas for Eleanor. And Eleanor says, well, it's 0 o'clock in the sky somewhere. And watching the last minute 30 right now, Chidi's trying to explain to things to Brent. This is in mute. And Brent's just kind of staring at him. His mouth's barely open, a little bit stunned. Chidi's a little frustrated. Brent's still a little bit of denial. Chidi goes back in. Oh, this one, he says, you're a bad person, dude. Brent's disbelief. And now everybody's like cheering him on, kind of, please. And he goes, no. Chidi's frustrated. Brent stands. Hand in one pocket, paces, I'm a good person. He looks around. He must have some realization here because he's like kind of nervous and maybe regret look. And then he goes, now he's apologizing to Chidi, closes his eyes. Yeah, so sorry. And they're out. And then, yeah, that's when the margarita stuff happens. And that's how that episode ends. But luckily, because of the magic of podcasting here, we could go right into the next episode, which is episode 8, The Funeral to End All Funerals. We're in Mindy's. They're still in their black tie from the thing. The obelisk starts to unshell. I call this guy Todd, but that's not his name. I forgot his name. It's like Chad or something. But he comes out. He kind of stretches. It's really funny. He kind of like really plays a mellow character. He kind of stretches his neck, rolls it, touches his belly. He goes, that's uncomfortable. He goes, hey guys, what's up? They go, what's up? What happened? Jason makes a great joke. Then they see, so they can't reveal except to the judge. Eleanor says, where is everybody? I mean, by specifically, I mean Chidi and Janet, because well, they're in the bathroom. She goes, on the loo. Not enough information. They're in the bathroom, the best seat Chidi's on. Eleanor says, wake up, Chidi, snappy, snappy, memory fixy. And then, the obelisk guy, I have his name written somewhere, but he says, not until the judge has ruled on the case. He says, let's go, but humans have to stay here. Eleanor says, I worked my ass off. Michael says, how about some tequila? She goes, okay. And then the episode opens, chapter 47. So it doesn't mean that there's going to be 50 episodes, 8. So 48 would be 9. 49 would be 10. Maybe it'll be 51. I don't know. Because what is there, usually 12 episodes a season or not? I can't remember. I'm sorry about that. I just fugued out there. Town Square, Lasagna Out Tomorrow, Janet Jason. Oh, Jason's in a cool warm-up suit with a gold chain. Eleanor Tahani are slow walking. They see, geez, it feels like some sort of goodbye. All the cafe chairs are kind of, the cafe looks like it's close. Like the chairs are leaned against the tables. Everyone something. Oh, Jason says, 15 funerals by now. Tell you what happened. Janet says, I'll tell you what happened at your real funerals. She goes, Tahani, at your funeral, Moby. And then she goes, no, thank you. Don't need to know about him. She goes, Jason, your friend's graffitied a Red Lobster. He goes, oh, yeah, it's the first stage of Jacksonville grief. Eleanor goes, well, in Arizona, you get a tax credit. And then Tahani says, let's throw ourselves a funeral to end all funerals. And then Jason goes, you know what they say in Florida? If you don't like this funeral, just wait a minute. Then we're in court. Sean's there and Bad Janet. There's like two big round portals that look like they're opening up into like a magical sea. Then there's two rows of two benches with a center aisle, marble floor. Bad Janet says, geez, what's the Wi-Fi password? There's no service in here. Sean goes to talk to Mike, and Mike says, whatever bounces off of you, whatever you say bounces off of me, sticks to you, you're glue or something. Sean goes, so it's come to this, in his deliciously Sean voice, your pathetic attempt for humans fail again. And Mike goes, well, you're glue. Then the good people come in, the good place people in committee. And then Michael says, thank you. They go, no, thank you. You did great. Sean will meet you halfway. And he goes, oh, he makes a mom joke. And they all laugh. They go, that was so horrible. Then we see Tahani lying down. And you should definitely rewatch this episode because just watching all of them pretending, the acting level of acting of them when they're lying there, listening to the eulogies, it's just their faces are so worth it. Let's see, lying down, eyes closed. She has a nice pillow. It's like a cream-colored couch. There's flowers. There's a picture of her from International Sophisticate magazine. I forgot what she was holding in that. Eleanor's in a black dress. Chidi's in black tie, too. She says, this is, you know, where she wanted a Gulfstream G6, a G650 jet. Super nice. Jason makes a joke about something funny. Then Eleanor makes these good jokes about bras. And she says, she was the best friend I ever had. I loved her. And then Tahani jumps up. She says, oh, thank you. Wish Chidi was here. Then they do a whole weekend at Bernie's, but actually I just happened to accidentally pause it, and they're in Mindy's bathroom. And Mindy has yet another interesting portrait up in her bathroom of no idea who it is. And then two pink candles on like sparkly candle holders. Yeah, so that's just amazing. Eleanor says, geez, I have hands full of cheaty butt. How did he get so jacked? Push-ups since he was a kid for anxiety. We're back at the courthouse. The portals are closed. Judge says, Jesus, this is the most important case I've ever had. It has ramifications for all of eternity. By the way, can you sign this? Michael says, what is it? She goes, petition to bring back Ally McBeal. Or reboot it, actually. And then there's a joke about Zendaya. Which Sean's a big fan. Who Sean's a big fan of? Zendaya. It's a Zendaya. Or Zendaya. Zendaya, I think. But Sean knows. Matt is the name. She goes, fine, Matt. Because Michael says, let's get to the work. The name of the gentleman, the accountant, kind of is Matt. And he does a hilarious countdown. He starts at 30. They go pick it up. He goes, okay, 2-1. It says future humanity. He has this huge game show board. It's digital. Who got better? As pictures of Simone Chidi, John, and Brent. Spinning wheels with question marks at first. Oh, yeah, I said I was going to pause it because actually... let me see, I'm going to try to pause it here. Question marks come up, then their pictures, and then they say, okay, I managed to pause it. So they bring Simone up first. She got 12% better. Michael says, bam, he stands up, like, shakes his fist with happiness. But it almost looks random. Like, under Chidi right now, when it's paused, it says, plus 39%, negative 394, negative 78, with John, it says negative 21, negative 683, plus 44%. With Brent, it says plus 3%, negative 62%, minus 188. But then it plays Chidi, let's see, 26%, bam. Brent, 44%, bam. And then Brent... negative 1%, and it does the like showcase showdown when you go over or whatever, dun 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 doom, like with the frown sound, sound effect. Michael says, shoot, I shouldn't have gone with that. Bam. Then there's an ad. Then we're at Jason's thing. There's wings in a swimming pool, Jacksonville Jaguar Cup. Eleanor has a tropical drink. Jason, something, pool. Chidi's in on a pool float with sunglasses on. He has a drink and with an umbrella and a Jags towel as a pillow. And they say, "Geez, why'd you choose this setting for your funeral?" And he goes, "Well, the way you do it is where you were born in Jacksonville. My mom, you know, I was born when my mom did a cannonball in the deep end." There's more jokes, more wings. Yeah, then we see Jason's on a diving board. We get to watch his face. There's a Jags towel. He has a Jags suit coat, a gold shirt, black tie. Then we see his Eleanor, Janet, and Tahani standing. Janet has a Jags hat on. There's a picture of Jason from his dance crew. Jumping, and then a stuffed like Jacksonville Jaguars bear. There's Jags vet, Jags chair, folding chairs. I think that's it. That's of super importance. Jason on diving board. Oh, there's a joke about pinatas. Just his face is so good, too. Janet says, he's the first person to ask about my feelings. I didn't have any, so I decided to go get some. I could see something special inside him, a multicolored blob of positivity behind his sternum. A rainbow bob inside of a hot, life-size action figure. Eleanor goes, you know, I'm glad there's somebody I could relate to here. Statham forever indeed. Then we go back to the court, big picture. Michael says, kind of three of these people improved a lot. Chidi became more confident. Simone became more flexible. John didn't use the C word, but Brent got worse. And then Michael says, well, overall in the experiments, like six people got better. That's the same number of friends and friends. And then he makes a bunch of jokes about friends, and Phoebe's the only one that would be in the good place, turns out. And Sean says, all for nothing. Bam, you're glue. And then you talk about well, anyway, they say, very interesting point, Brent, Sean. And Michael says, call up some other files. Camilla Jamil. Donna Shellstrop, his stepdaughter, Patricia Cat. Oh, it does. It's Patricia, which her name is spelled, last name is spelled K-A-T-T-E-R-T-T-R-U-N-E. Catter-Troon, maybe. And then Pillboy, Stephen Palaz. Pelias, I think. Pelias, that's what it was. Pillboy. They kind of have ID cards. They come up with lots of bad place symbols and letters and some other stuff. They became good people. And then they go, well, geez, not, these aren't random. You can't just bring up random good people. We could bring up random bad people. He goes, no, they're not random. You know, these are the people the Soul Squad helped on Earth. And they didn't use any magic. It was just kindness and emotional support. They made these people, four people, better. And they talk about, the judge is like, I don't think you're using whatever rubber, your glue correctly. They all have graphs where their points jumped with the Soul Squad intervention. Pillboy's caring for the elderly. Camila had started a scholarship in Tahani's name, sent 213 women to college. Donna helps with homework. Patricia taught Donna math every night. A learned multiplication. Michael says, yikes. And he says, people improve when they get external love and support. How can one hold it against them when they don't? And then either Brent or the judge, I mean, either Sean or the judge say, Brent got worse every second of every day until the very end. And then they say, geez, like, but then at the very end, he did get a top recent point edition. So this is what it says for Brent. Felt genuine remorse for the first time, nearly expressed genuine remorse for the first time. And Michael says, this is the whole story. No one is beyond rehabilitation. Who could he have become tomorrow? And the judge says, I'll have my ruling shortly. Then we go back to pool. They say, Janet, what about your funeral? And Jason says, we're good doing it. Damon and Buster's right. There's still buckets of wings everywhere. And Janet goes, I don't need it. Tahani, you taught me how to make a family. Or if you don't have a family, you can make one. Jason taught me that have value beyond what I do for other people. And she goes, Eleanor, there was a moment when I observed you and all hope was lost, and I watched you have hope anyway. Maybe want to barf a beautiful quasar. And they say, what about you, Eleanor? She goes, mine's easy. We could do it here. She's lying in a pool chair with a DEADAF t-shirt and written in sparkly blue. Jean shorts, and there's a picture of her, like in a pink sweater, kind of like a headshot almost. She's got that lonely girl magenta margarita mix. Tahani's in sweats. Actually, one of her sweatshirts magenta, kind of cream or white pants, or maybe even powder blue. Another white sweatshirt, maybe. Maybe it's more of a grape, her sweatshirt, her hoodie. She's in some kind of slippers. There's lots of flowers. And yeah, the big picture of Eleanor. There's even in the background a Ya Dead banner. A tiki bar set up. Janet's in a pink hat. Jason's in a tropical tank top. We're here to celebrate Eleanor. She spent most of her life at a bar at a house she was not invited to. She's making gray faces, full of surprises. Tahani says, when I was with her, I never felt so seen. Jason sings her a song, which kind of goes, whoa, like cannons explode. And they go, like, whatever, it's funny. And they go, who's left? Oh, Chidi. So they put him in his room with all the books and the desk lamps. There's a picture of him studying. There's a book in his lap, which I wrote down here somewhere. Before they cut to the scene, though, Chidi was at Eleanor's. He was dressed as a mailman from Eleanor's fantasies. Chidi has a copy of What We Owe Each Other, and Eleanor really can't talk about it. She goes, Chidi was a rootin' tootin' rat and rootin' varmint. She goes, I can't do it. I have to pay, I can't. Then we go back to the judges ready. Then Janet says, the judge is ready to pass judgment, so let's go. And they go, we got to change outfits because Tahani's butt says Skank Army on it. So then we go back to court. The judge says, the point system is flawed. You're right. Humans are not fixed. You won. And everyone's stunned. And they go, geez, well, that wasn't so hard. Let's celebrate. Everybody's clapping. Sean slumps down. And the judge goes, okay, well, this is great. So Earth's canceled. We'll start a new one from scratch. In some sense, I really am rebooting Ally McBeal because I'm rebooting everything. And she goes, congrats, Michael, you won. And then they go to an ad. Jason says, whoa. He goes, oh, can you say that again? Because some of us might have been thinking about other stuff. He goes, this is drastic. She goes, no, Earth's too much of a mess. She goes, we can get rid of everything, even baby teeth, which is great. And she goes, what was your plan, Michael? Michael was like, well, I would have, you know, just tweaked the points. Like maybe get 3 points for eating an apple instead of two. I think Eleanor says something about spanks for your soul. And then she goes, judge goes, no, Earth is too complicated. Where'd I put my human wiper outer again? And then she goes, lip gloss, a thing that ends all the wars, which is like a white button with like a blue LED light, very like like the old White Apple aesthetic, a DVD of Justified Season 2. Then Sean's like, wow, you won. His feet are up on his desk. He's looking at his nails because you won and somehow you still failed. There's also like 4 files for the and he has 2 legal pads and an ashtray. And Sean looks pretty smooth. He's in a, I guess, an olive wool suit with like a, I don't know, burgundy tie, maybe? Maybe not. Maybe a rust colored tie. And I had him deposit twice when he's looking at his nails with his feet up, which is a good look for him as a representative of the Bad Place. Eleanor says, wake up cheating now. She goes, yo, what about the Good Place, nerds? She goes, yo, angel types, how about some help? And they say, yeah, we're constructing some strongly worded letters. And they say, are we sure we should use sternly worded letters? Sternly. Strident upsets the norms. Maybe we shouldn't do that. And then back at the courtroom, and the judge says, Michael, Sean. Sean does like the old finger point thing. Janet, see ya. See in a billion years or so. It's been crazy ride. Looks like she also got a bottle of hot sauce out of her purse. She found the remote, by the way. That's why she's doing that. Then she sings. She says, oh, it's been one crazy ride. Then she starts singing. And then I was like, is this some new song or like that I don't recognize? Or is this like a song from 19, the cusp of... yeah, so it took me a while to realize that it was Bone Thugs and Harmony, the Crossroads. Because I said, maybe I'm just so out of sync with, like, but I said, well, this got recorded, like, 8 months ago. So even if it's a popular song, I should know it. But, like, the it's about missing people at the crossroads. And so then I had to, I listened to the song. And I said, oh, okay, yeah, it is. So that was cool. That was a throwback. Really good because, oh, she's singing. So she starts moving. Then what was the kid's name? Not Chad. So she's singing and a little bit moving. And then Matt is kind of dancing. And then Sean's kind of snapping and moving along. And she says, I'm going to miss you guys. She says that at the end, but like really plays it out. And this is where when you're getting someone of this caliber to play kind of a like role, Maya Rudolph, it's like, holy cow, you really get somebody that brings their A game. Then we hear the Janet sound when she blinks in and out and the remote's gone. She goes, Janet, give it back. She goes, it hit it in my void. So then the judge goes into Janet's void. She goes, oh, she said, that's weird. She's in my void. Then the judge comes out. She goes, real cute. Where is it? And Janet goes, not in my void. She goes, no. And then bad Janet kind of walks up holding a book. Of course, my it's a playback stopped, but that's not a big deal. Bad Janet walks holding a book. She says, It's in mine. And she goes, by the way, I'm with them now. She goes, this whole system's royally forked. Humans suck, but it's not their fault. Sean's kind of in disbelief, but then Janice says, I'm so proud of you. She goes, I don't care. She goes, I think you do. And then she goes, sister hug. And the judge says, I'm not going to see my work undone by two Janice playing keep away. And Bad Janice says, I should have explained. It's all of us. This is at 2 minutes and 30 seconds left in the episode, so I'm watching it right now. She goes, I sent a manifesto around. If there's one Janet that comes in that says, I mostly send gifts of otters. Well, let's see. They're about to come in here now. Here's the sister hug here. Janet's face to face. The judge not happy. And Matt doesn't look happy either. I don't see Eleanor in this. Oh, she's off the side. Okay, here comes the Janice. It's really funny. Oh, boy. I was going to try. Let me try to pause it a few times here. You know, this is live sleep podcasting recorded. Okay, so first Janet's come through on the left. It's very similar to a good Janet. And the one on the right is she just has a little bit more or less. She has like a more plaid look. Then a couple bad Janet lookalikes. Then some Janets in just contrasting outfits. One in a tan. One in a little bit louder of an outfit, I'd say. A couple in very similar ones. Good. Both bad Janet is stunned. A good Janet is rebellious. Then a Janet in like a disco roller skate outfit flies through, which was hilarious. She even does like a spin move. More Janets. She does like a groovy like thing. She does finger pointing. The judge closes the portals and puts what are those things called? You put on your put on your steering wheel to lock it. But at this point, enough good Janets have come in, a whole line of them. Oh, let's see. Should we count them? You're right. We should. You're right. So let me see if I can pause in here and count when they're all in the room. Gonna take some quality pausing here. Okay, there we go. Some of them wave. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. Two sets of 18 Janets arranged in rows of three. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. So it's 36 plus our current Janets makes 38. What are the variations? Oh, great question. So disco Janet, only one. Very similar to our Janet. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Then a slight variation with a louder shirt. There's three of those, maybe four. Four, I guess. Then a tan Janet. 1, 2. One has terrible posture. 3, 4. 5, 6 of those. Bad Janets. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. It's any kind of Janet in a plaid. Again, please don't check my math. 1, 2. One in the back, maybe 3, 4. Yeah, there's a couple I can't see, but yeah, so that's a kind of countdown of the Janet count. Sent the manifesto around. That's when the one says, I mostly send you gifts of otters. She also gives thumbs up. Then they go to a commercial. Come back. This is so annoying. She goes, I'm going to search each one of you, Janets, marbleize you. They go, okay. Then Michael, the scroll squad says, we need a plan. Michael goes, plan. Step one, get a plan. Step two, do the plan. And he says, if we can't change, or maybe Eleanor says, if we can't change the points, we could change what we do with the points. New system for judging the humans. Eleanor says, if we only knew one person here who was smart enough to save humanity. And then Jason goes, fine, I'll do it. And Eleanor says, this is really interesting stuff, too. She goes, a better afterlife is the ultimate ethical question. We need Chidi back, and Chidi needs his memories. And then again, the stakes, I mean, there's still high stakes. There's a ticking clock. And then Michael says, you want to take the most, because then you say, okay, this all makes sense. But then Michael says, you want to take the most indecisive man ever born, stuff him through memories of 800 versions of himself, and then tell us he has 45 minutes to save humanity? You think that's going to go well? And Eleanor says, he's our only chance. Wake him up. Then the judge again emphasizes the clock because she pops out of a Janet. She goes, next. And then we zoom on Chidi and the episode comes to an end. So I don't know if we'll get a 9th episode before the holidays or a 9th and a 10th episode before the holidays or not. I don't know how long we'll be waiting to find out what happens next, but I know I'll be looking forward to it. Good night.